Welcome to this week's edition of The Headlines from CKUT's Community News Collective in Montreal. Information that matters from our neighborhood to the world. Produced in collaboration with The Dominion. We are broadcasting from Montreal and rebroadcasting on stations throughout Canada and the United States. These are the headlines for the week of January 25th. I'm Laura Glowacki.
Native rights activist and political prisoner Leonard Peltier was jumped and beaten by two other inmates after being transferred to Canaan Prison in Weymouth, Pennsylvania, roughly 2 weeks ago. Michael Kuzma, Peltier's attorney, described his injuries in an interview with American Indian Airwaves last Wednesday.
According to the letter, he thinks he might have a concussion. The middle finger on his left hand is either broken or badly injured. He has a large bump near his right wrist. The right side of his rib cage and chest are in pain. He also has a bruise on the right side of his chest. He also has a bruise on his left knee, and he's suffering from headaches. He believes these headaches are a direct result of the January 13th beating.
While Peltier remains injured, he has not been taken to a hospital to be examined. As a result of the attack, Peltier is in solitary confinement and allowed only one phone call a month, despite having been assured that he would enjoy all of his privileges upon transfer to Canaan. According to the Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee, Peltier's sister received a letter from the prisoner, but was never notified by prison officials of the attack. The family has requested copies of the video footage of the incident, but to no avail. Furthermore, the committee says, quote, "It is as if the whole scenario was contrived to detract from the fact that Mr. Peltier has been a model prisoner, having more than enough points to qualify for parole," end quote. Attorney Sheila Dugan was allowed a non-contact visit with Peltier for only 4 hours last Saturday after two other attorneys were denied. Michael Kuzma has written a letter to the Bureau of Prisons reiterating his request for Peltier to be transferred to the Turtle Mountain Reservation or, alternatively, sent to the Sandstone or Oxford Federal Correctional Institutions.
A couple in Winnipeg have filed a human rights complaint, accusing their family doctor of refusing care on the basis that the two women are gay. Jeanette and Andrea Markowski were told by their family physician, Dr. Camelia Elias, to seek care elsewhere, since their sex life conflicted with her moral beliefs and that she had no experience treating lesbians. Dr. Elias has only been living in Canada for 4 years, and the Markowski case highlights an exceptional circumstance where new Canadians have not been sufficiently informed that the Charter of Rights and Freedoms protects patients from discrimination. Physicians can only reject patients if they are already overworked with cases.
As the latest atrocities in Gaza have opened another generation's eyes to the crimes against humanity that are being perpetuated against the Palestinian people, common cause is being found and established between indigenous people across the world. It is no surprise that Venezuela and Bolivia have been some of the most vocal defenders of the Palestinian people's right to exist. The Mohawk Nation is showing their solidarity and support with the indigenous people of Palestine as well. This is Kent Anetta, an elder from the Mohawk Nation in Kanawake.
What the Palestinians are being forced into is an apartheid Indian Act system, and it's being rammed down their throats. And this is the very same apartheid system that was imposed on us and still continues. The Israelis put a wall around those people the same way they've put walls around us. What I'm concerned about with the Palestinian is that I didn't see the Middle Eastern nations helping them. And in our case, we did try and help each other.
Progress has been made at the Canwest newspaper, the Montreal Gazette. The CBC reports that union officials and management are now willing to talk. The dispute that made headlines last October when management attempted to persuade Concordia journalism students into becoming scab laborers has been in a standstill for over 6 months. Journalists at the Gazette have been withholding their bylines in protest over management's decision to scale back local content in favor of cheaper, nationally syndicated coverage. About 200 editorial, sales, and advertising staff at the struggling broadsheet have been working without contract since June 2008. The two parties hope to reach a resolution very shortly.
Critics issued a statement slamming the UN high-level meeting on food security that took place this past Monday and Tuesday in Madrid, Spain. The International Planning Committee on Food Sovereignty, or IPC, in collaboration with 49 social movements and organizations, including La Villa Campesina, has criticized the meeting for its lack of inclusion of small-scale farmers and fisher people. The conference's stated aim is to establish policies to move towards reducing hunger and poverty worldwide. However, the IPC statement charges that the meeting's structure is dominated by G8 donor countries and multilateral institutions like the World Bank, and that it marginalizes farmers' voices. During the previous high-level meeting on food security in June 2008, a declaration called No More Failures as Usual was issued with the support of over 800 people's organizations and NGOs. The document outlined proposals for addressing the food and climate crises. The latest statement by the IPC criticizes the governments involved in the latest Madrid talks for ignoring those proposals from June 2008.
On January 27th, Finance Minister Jim Flaherty presented his latest budget proposal, the Conservative government's third in the last 2 years. The minister had originally stated, as recently as last month, that the government had intended to present a balanced budget.
Our commitment is to make sure that spending on average does not exceed the growth of nominal GDP, the rate of growth of the economy. And we are going to keep that commitment over the course of that average period of time over the years.
Over the last few weeks, however, the minister has backtracked from that commitment. The government predicted a deficit of $85 billion over 5 years as it attempts to implement a plan to stimulate the economy. The budget includes infrastructure spending, tax cuts, and targeted loans.
And those are the week's headlines. Our broadcasts are available for download every week at ckutnews.wordpress.com, and you can read more news from the grassroots at dominionpaper.ca. Thanks this week to our friends at the Dominion and Tariq Jiroburken, Annabelle Koo, Caitlin Chappelle, and Laura Glowacki of the CKUT News Collective. I'm David Koch. To contact us, email headlines at ckut.ca or call 514-448-4041, extension 6788.
Platforms, because they destroy illusion and reveal truth.